There are certain things in life that we just have to do, whether we want to or not. And sometimes we're good at those things, and, well, sometimes we aren't. In most instances, we can get by. We get the job done, it's over with, and we can move on with things. And if something needs to be done repeatedly, we might even get better at it. And of course, if it's a job we enjoy, we might deliberately invest more time in the task. One such job that arises at this time of year is getting our gardens ready. Now that the cold is gone, the April showers have finished, it's time to get the lawn and the gardens in good shape. We rake out that dead grass. We remove the weeds that are beginning to infest the flower beds. We plant new shrubs and perhaps we move others around. And one of the jobs is to prune the trees and the shrubs. It seems an odd thing to cut and remove what appears to be a healthy part of a plant. But I'm told by my father, who is an avid gardener, that remove about one third of the growth of a shrub so that what is there can grow stronger. Just in doing so, in pruning, we allow the plant to grow in a more healthy way. The problem that I have, you see, when I go into the garden is that I'm a hack. I really don't know what I'm doing. So by the time I'm done pruning and the trees and the bushes, well, you know I've been there. You see, gardening is not one of those things that I enjoy, nor is it one of those things that I am good at. Now, our gospel lesson from John, the one that I read this morning, it looks at that issue of pruning the vine. And this past week, the session met on Tuesday, and for our devotional, we also looked at this passage. And the question that I asked the session was this, and I only asked them one question, and I think they could have talked about it for an hour. I asked them, "Do you trust the gardener? Do you trust the gardener?" The answer might seem apparent and even self-evident. However, it opens up a whole host of other questions which the session discovered, either to their delight or dismay, I'm not yet sure. But that question and this passage, it pushes and it prods us over issues of control in our own life. Control is something that we are not good at giving up. What does it mean to let God do the pruning? What if God cuts out something that I enjoy? What if, after being pruned, I begin to grow in a direction that I find frightening or uncomfortable? If you come to my house and you see the work that I do in my garden, you will not leave inspired. Gardening isn't my strength. However, if you go to the home of a master gardener, you will leave inspired. You will see what is possible with time, patience, planning, and love. Which is why the pruning, which Jesus speaks of in our passage, is not a scary thing. Because the gardener knows what he is doing. The pruning, yes, it might still cause some pain. The gardener may cut off a particular part we are fond of. We may like that one branch that has to go. A habit we enjoy, something we're proud of. It might be a part of our lives that we think is really important, which we could not live without. But the gardener knows what he is doing. He prunes with a purpose, that we might be even more fruitful. That is what God wants for us, and what God wants from us, that we bear fruit. Now, as you're aware, over the course of the past year, the session has been engaged in a process of discernment. We have sought to better understand how God is calling us as a congregation to serve the community of Coburg and beyond. And during our recent annual meeting, we engaged the entire congregation in this process, a discussion of how St. Andrew's is being called to grow and minister to the community. With prayer and a discussion, the session this past week is beginning to narrow things down, to find a place to start, to renew our focus, our commitment to God's mission in this world, a mission that is redemptive and full of divine purpose. Our goal is not to cut and remove aspects from the life and or ministry from St. Andrew's as it exists now. However, we are taking a close look at the ministry that we are engaged with and deciding where we should focus our attention. And of course, as we continue to work on this vision, we will bring you updates, and when the work is done, we'll present that vision to you. So I would ask that you continue to pray for the session, the leadership, and indeed for the entire congregation of St. Andrew's, for the work which we do and will continue to do in the community and beyond. Work which is rooted in our trust, faith, and love of God, which, in my mind, is exactly what is at the heart of our passage. It is a message of trust, faith, and love. We are asked to trust in God, who is the gardener, that we remain in Christ, and that by doing so, we will be encouraged to grow and bear more fruit. As we remain in Christ and Christ in us, we are reminded that the passage speaks to us from a perspective of more than just us as individuals. Jesus is the true vine, and we also know that the church belongs to Christ. If we recognize this as true, then we know that pruning is not just talking about us as individuals, not just making us as individuals more fruitful. It's about making Christ's church more fruitful. And we're all a part of that. Christ is the central vine, and we are all a part of the network. We are asked to remain close, so that our fruit will be good, not for our sake, but for the sake of all. We are all a part of the body of Christ. We need our hands, we need our feet, our eyes and our ears. And we need our left hand talking to our right hand. This passage raises the notion about whether the church is just a place that we attend for an hour on a Sunday morning, or whether our faith is rooted in something deeper. Perhaps you've heard the expression or the question, is faith a verb or a noun? Is faith a thing which we have an understanding of? Or is faith something that we do. And perhaps it's semantics, but I hope that you take my point. Perhaps we can even best say that faith is a noun which is transformed into a verb, that our faith spurs us to action. And of course, there are many images that have been developed over time about faith. Some feel that the best image of faith is walking, just keeping walking. Some say faith is a matter of head and heart, that you know what you know and how you feel. And others say it's a matter of hands and feet, what you do and where you go. I have always enjoyed Eugene Peterson's perspective, which comes from the title of one of his books, that is, Faith is a Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Friends, God is the gardener. And as a gardener, God is exceedingly patient. Yet God does have a plan for creation, which is why God prunes. You see, though I believe God is all-powerful, that God is all-knowing, I also believe that God desires our assistance in seeing His divine plan fulfilled. God wants us to bear good fruit because it is pleasing to God that we do so. It's pleasing to God because it means we are in relationship with God and because we are working and living out God's plan for creation. In our passage today, we read about faith as remaining, abiding, staying still and calm and in one place, rooted in Jesus. Abide in me, he says. At the same time, we are called to produce fruit, to be active, vibrant, and verdant. Jesus reminds us that the vine that moves away from the central vine, it is pruned and kept short. We are at our best when we are closest to Jesus. God is the creator, the gardener. We are the fruit. This image is powerful in talking about our life of discipleship. It tells us that when God is doing the maintenance and the pruning, we are guaranteed to grow. That we will find the promise of a new life. You see, the pruning that God does is not arbitrary. God is not a hack. The pruning that God does is redemptive. So friends, do we trust God's plan as the master gardener? Or do we have the need to rebel against God's love and grow in a different direction? And today, on Anniversary Sunday, we have the great privilege and opportunity to reflect on 182 years of ministry that this congregation of St. Andrews has been involved in. We think about the ways we have brought about good fruit, of the many times that God may have pruned our branches to make us more vibrant and enthusiastic about our faith. Think of the many ways, past and present, in which the congregation has been connected to the true vine. Whether that's been our work and involvement with the soup kitchen, hosting a variety of community outreach groups, the AA, the Girl Guides, visiting our brothers and sisters in Christ in times of need and just in times of friendship, in study, in prayer, small groups, in worship. we see that the vine is transformed from an image of agriculture into a symbol of love, mission, and community. The vine moves from being a noun, from being a thing, to something of action. We are the vine at work. The vine does not simply sit idle. If you look at the vine or any fruit tree, it may look idle or dormant, but beneath the surface, the vine is at work. Nutrients are being transferred. The vine is growing and ultimately will bear fruit. Beneath the surface, good work is going on, which will bear good fruit. And that is what we are being called to do when we abide in Christ. When we allow the Master Gardener to tend to us. Not that we remain idle, but to get to the busy work of bearing fruit. And it's my prayer that this congregation will be bearing good fruit for many, many years to come. Amen.